Folks, the best value at Manager Tools is to buy an annual license to our material. For $200 a year, you get access to show notes for every single show produced, over 100 a year, plus our entire archive of nearly 1,000 shows. You wouldn't want to print it out all in one place. It'd be a management Wikipedia, and it'd be probably 5,000 pages. You get all that, plus access to Things I Think, and even more powerfully, the interview creation tool, which may be our strongest and most least known digital tool that we have, and more digital tools to come in the future, available only to licensees. Ask another licensee. They'll tell you it is the best value they have. Welcome to GrowTools, our guidance on tracking your results. Here we go. Wendy, this cast is about helping people learn how to track the results, what to track, and why it's valuable tracking it in terms of being ready for your annual review, having stuff to deliver in terms of your self-review, but also in terms of being able to prepare your career management document, which leads to an effective resume, right?
Absolutely. And one of the other things it gives you is it allows you to see on a weekly or monthly basis how well you're doing. So you don't get to the end of the year and then suddenly find that you've been way off track since February. Nobody's talked to you, but you didn't notice either, which is a bad thing.
Yeah. And people tell us all the time, gosh, I feel bad. I didn't do this before. And I wish I'd kept better track way back when. And so this cast is about forgetting about what's happened in the past, guys. There's nothing we can do about yesterday. Actually, we'll do future guidance on that in more detail than we previously have. But for now, what do you do going forward? What's our guidance, Wendy?
Okay, so we're going to start by tracking our projects, the stuff we're currently working on. And every time it finishes, we're going to track the outcomes. And then we're going to, if for managers, you need to be tracking your team's results as well.
But to be clear, when you said when a project finishes, we're going to track outcomes, that doesn't mean that we only track project outcomes. We track any outcomes.
Yeah.
And all that comes from what our annual review would say, what our job description says, and so on. Good. Okay. So you said track your projects. And I know the reason you put this first, because we have people all the time that give us guidance or to talk to us about their background. And you can tell that they're describing their background based on some very vague information in their job description. And they leave out an awful lot of stuff that happened in 3 and 6 and 5 and 4 month windows or 9 month windows or even 5 year windows. And people leave those off because the project started after their job description was written or after their annual review or their goals for the year were included. And they just never mention it. And it's funny, people actually say to me, gosh, it really feels like I didn't get a lot done that year. And yet I was really, really busy. And it's because projects come and projects go, but they don't last in many cases long enough. And they're not captured in the documents that people look at, and they don't know how to go back through their emails and so on. And so we want to start with a thing that affects, seems like everybody all the time, which is projects. There's energy expelled in the pursuit of project success, but they seem not to get captured. And I think a lot of times it's people don't have data or don't know where to look. And also because, well, isn't that what people do kind of all the time and that's not important? No, if you're working on it, it's important.
Yeah. And not knowing how to measure it as well. Like, what is the measure of success? People can struggle with that too sometimes.
Cool. All right. So what's our guidance on tracking projects?
So David Allen teaches us in Getting Things Done that any outcome that requires more than two actions is a project. Well, I don't think we need to go quite that far, but we do need to go a lot further down than most people do when they're describing a project. So even things like preparing an annual meeting or documenting a process that already exists or creating a new process or creating standard letters, all of those things are projects. And yet there are things that maybe only take 2 or 3 days or that like the annual meeting is once it's done, you forget about it. And yet, as you said, you've expended energy on it.
Yeah.
The outcome has happened, but you're not getting any credit for it because you don't remember it because it seemed trivial, I don't know, at the time. So on a tracking document of some kind, whatever you prefer to use, it doesn't really matter. Track the title, the description. So you give the project a title, but also describe it, because one of the things you're going to have to do when you go to interviews is tell people about the project. And it's much easier if you have something written already that will A, remind you of all the little pieces of it, and also it'll help with your fluency when you describe the project because you've already described it once. And then you need to look at the outcome. And the most important outcomes of projects are on time, on budget, and in scope. Every project, whether it's the annual meeting or describing a process, they still have a deadline, a budget, even if the budget's zero. Like, your manager doesn't give you any extra time or money to do these things, but it's there. And in scope, meaning you did everything
that the original plan called for.
Yeah, even though if that's describe a process, there's still a required outcome. And everybody ends up doing projects, even people who have really defined roles. So, for example, an insurance processor might have, you know, a stack of, I always imagine them with paper, stack of paper on the left-hand side, and they're checking these insurance claims, and they pass them over to the right-hand side, and then they go off somewhere else. That person might think of their role as kind of limited. I just process these documents. But when a manager says, hey, we've had a process change, can you update the book of processes? That's right. Still a project. Only take you a couple of hours, but it's still a project. And if you're in that kind of constrained place where you process documents or there's some very defined role, then in order to stand out when you're interviewing, you need to have experience of other things. And often people do, but they've forgotten them.
And in many cases, that while every single project, two tasks in a row, is probably too much to track, if you don't start tracking more of what you do, and that includes thinking about every single project, meaning more than two tasks, you're going to end up, like so many other people do, with a feeling at the end of the year like, I work my tail off, but I can't really capture the value, or I can't really describe it. I certainly don't want to put it on paper, or I don't have the details to be able to talk about it if it went on my resume. So we're not suggesting every project with two tasks you should therefore capture. We recommend you think much more granularly than you're presently doing. And that leads us to tracking results more regularly. It doesn't seem like a big deal at the time, but this is how you spend your hours and days. And if you're not willing to capture the stuff you've been working on, and by the way, email is a great place to go back through, keeping track of this. We talk about this in preparing for your self-review, which I think of as a sort of a companion guidance to this one. We have guidance about how to prepare for your review, and it talks about going back through all of your old emails. And it takes, by the way, weeks, it's made much easier if you keep track of your work along the way. And you're right, Wendy. I think it's easy to go back and say, that was no big deal. To go back and look at something, it was just four or five things. You're right. And maybe that one wouldn't make it. But suddenly now you start walking away from capturing stuff that's 20 tasks or 50 tasks. And now suddenly you're left with the three big projects, none of which finish during the year, all of which rely on other people, maybe none of which you're the key person on in a typical year, and suddenly you're left again feeling hollow. So you've got to be willing to think more granularly, and as a result of that, learn that the granular stuff is, what did I do? What were the tasks? Did I accomplish them on time? And overall, what did that lead to in terms of time, on budget, in scope? Okay, so I mean, you said track the title and the description and the outcome, but there's got to be more than that, right? You are recommending we include all the steps.
Yes, absolutely. So in the description, I was thinking of the list of steps as well. Sorry, I didn't describe that very well. We'll come to it later, but if you were organizing a meeting, then talking about sending out the invites and collecting the replies and chasing up the people that didn't reply and all of that stuff, you need to have captured, because for one reason, you might get to an interview or get to want to apply for a role, and that's the only example you have of doing something. And if you don't write it down, you'll forget it because it wasn't, you know, the big thing.
Right. Okay.
The other reason to do it concurrently is because if you look back from the end of the year, these things, or even 2 or 3 years later, if you're doing a resume, the things seem quite trivial because you compare them to the person that you are now. So I would have no problem organizing a meeting with 20 people and the CEO of a really big company because I've done it like 20,000 times.
Right.
But the first time I did it, it was a big deal. I had notes and, you know, post-it notes and things about people and double-checked catering 57 times because it was a big deal right back then. And if I looked at my resume, you know, 3 years later, I go, well, maybe it wasn't such a big deal. But in that job, in the job I was with the person I was then, that was one of my big things. And so I would want to keep it on my resume.
I would argue even before that, if you don't have it on your career management document, it never makes it to your resume.
Oh, good point.
And by the way, folks, if you don't know what the career management document is, we recommend you go listen to our guidance, or if you're a licensee, go read our guidance about career management documents, because a resume is by definition a tailored version of your background that is different for different companies you may talk to. But a career management document is the raw data that you pull from. It's not every single email, every single phone call, every single task you did, but it is a capturing of the results, the initiatives, the outcomes that you have. And it may be 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 pages even, which you will then customize for different companies depending upon the job you're interviewing for. And what we're doing here is suggesting that in order to be thinking like a manager or an executive or a full-fledged member of an organization that thinks about the outcomes that the organization delivers to society, you've got to track it because, again, we're so far down in the weeds day to day, we forget to look up and think, well, how do I fit in? What's the big picture? And if you don't have that thinking, you won't have the raw data to fill up your career management document, which leads to a lean resume, which leads to weakness when you talk to your boss about why she should let you go to another area, because you don't have data to support the value you would bring to that other area. So all this stuff fits in, and too many people aren't doing it. And if you don't hear anybody else talking to you about this, it's in part because it's hard to do. It's not hard. It's not complex. It's just boring and important and sort of tedious. On the other hand, another reason people aren't telling you to do this anywhere else is because 25 years ago, organizations did this for you. And many people talk about, the world is a better place now that organizations aren't managing people's careers. That's true if you have taken responsibility for managing your own career, which too many people
that.
Have not. Yes. Okay, good. All right, enough aside. I'm really good at tangents on career tools. So let's talk about tracking your outcomes next.
Okay. So projects are generally, we talked about this just now, generally measured on deadline, budget, and scope. But there's other things that you're measured on too. So you might have a quota or a number that you have to hit. And you might have customer service. You know, you're judged on the customer service. If your manager doesn't get any complaints about you, then your customer service is deemed to be fine. You know? And I always find this helpful if I turn it round. So I think, what would I have to do to be fired? Well, I have responsibility for writing 3 things a week, the newsletter, a career tools cast, and Mad Sad Glad. And if I didn't do them, if I didn't do those 3 things, and one of them wasn't available when it should have been, I'd be fired.
Yeah, you'd get some feedback. But if you continued to not do it, yes.
Yeah.
At some point, yeah.
And yet that's not the entirety of my job. I write much more than that in a week.
Right.
But if I think of it backwards and think, okay, then I have to hit at least these three, and everything above that is, you know, gravy and performance in one way. So if you think about it backwards, that's often a good way to see what the implied minimum required
right.
is. So other outcomes might be money saved, money made, time saved, customers served, customer service ranking, number of complaints, quantity of something completed, number of mistakes, available time, all those things.
When you say quantity, I think quality as well.
Oh, yes. That's important too.
I also think documents are a huge part of outcomes. I think reports, I think presentations. Now, this is more on the manager side of thing, but I think it's still relates to things. We often tell people that when it comes to behaviors, and we're getting a little theoretical here, guys, or underlying principles, but behaviors are the ultimate engine of all organizational success. And I'm gonna upset some people, but ideas are not, because ideas don't necessarily lead to anything. Only when they are behaved around do they create value. But individual behaviors lead to aggregated behaviors, which lead to departmental results, which ultimately end up creating organizational results. And organizational results are measured in terms of however your organization serves society. For the majority of you listening in a corporate or in a organization where money changes hands, it would be in the form of profit, revenue and profit. Profit is neither good nor bad. It is simply a measure of output and the value society puts on the aggregation of all the behaviors of the people internal in the organization. So when we teach behaviors, which is what managers are responsible for, delivering results, which are individual behaviors aggregated, we teach that there are five behaviors: the words you say, how you say them, your facial expressions, your body language, and lastly, your work product. And work product is the quantity of your work, the quality of your work, the timeliness of your work, the accuracy of your work, and the documentation associated with your work. So reports, for instance, would include quantity, and there would be quality related to that. There'd also be documentation, obviously. Accuracy would matter related to those things. And I think that just makes it easy. And when you start thinking that, in fact, for a long time on my desk, I had QQATD. I also had a little S behind it because some people put safety in there as well, even though that generally didn't affect my job for the most of my career after I left the Army. But QQATD, parentheses S, was a helpful way for me to think about what am I doing and how is this going to be measured in terms of those criteria. By the way, there are different ways of measuring work product. Those are the ways that Manager Tools talks about it, Career Tools talks about it. That makes it super easy for me. You mentioned three things, which is a quantity, but the quality associated with them. If you wrote three things every week, if you wrote a newsletter and they were rubbish, that would probably also lead to some negative feedback over time.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. And look, guys, it sounds overly simplified, but being on time, meeting your deadlines, is not something that I would necessarily crow about, but it's not something I would immediately say, don't pay attention to it. Because the more you start paying attention to the standards that are applied to your work, the easier it is to see what the outcomes are of your work to be able to allow you to track it on a regular basis.
And if you hit your deadline for 500 things over the year, even if they were only 2 or 3 day deadlines, because it was fairly easy, and right, you hit 100% of them over a year, that is an accomplishment. They all add up.
I absolutely want to see that. Yeah, that's good. And yet you could easily forget about it, and you certainly would forget about it if you were doing this at the end of the year.
Oh, for sure you would.
Good. Okay, and then the last thing we have as guidance, and we could be more into detail, but if we did, it would take 6 or 7 hours to get this all done. But we also want to talk about managers at least briefly in terms of tracking a manager's team's results.
Yeah, so everything takes collaboration. There are very few jobs where you can sit in a box and it's your work and you do it from start to finish and everything is contained within your box. Most right. people have to, even if you're writing code, you have to have it QA'd. So you've got to talk to the QA team. You've got to write code that fits the requirements. So you've got to talk to the people who are creating the requirements. Everybody's sort of a piece in the flow of the work through the company. And it's been kind of fashionable not to say I did something, but to say we did
yes.
it, which is true. You did do it together. But when you're writing your resume or when you're thinking about your things for the annual review, it's you. It's only you we're talking about. Because if you say we, the manager or the person hiring you or the person you're talking to will assume that you took a small role and that you can't describe what it was that you did and your contribution. It's got to be about your piece.
And a lot of people think because it's fashionable to talk about teams, even though teams don't accomplish things, we give credit to teams, but that doesn't mean the team did it. Individuals on the team did it. It's been fashionable to say things on resumes like collaborated upon. Mm-hmm. This is an inherent weakness of those resumes. I've come to see it. This is a selfish personal conclusion that those people are endorsing the idea of teams, which I'll come back to in a second, or that they didn't do a lot. You may be a team player and think, I really want to honor the team, but teams don't get hired. Individuals get hired. And you may not like that, but it's true. And if your resume says nothing but collaborated upon, or contributed to, you're not going to get hired because there's an assumption that you're trying to take credit. As much as I hate to say this, and as much as you don't mean it when you do it, that you're suggesting that you're trying to take credit for what the team did in its entirety. And what the hiring manager wants to know, or what your manager wants to know when he or she evaluates you on the end of the year, is what was your individual contribution. And to say I contributed to what the team did X is essentially eliding what the whole point of the resume, the career management document, or the end of year review is, which is what did you do? What was your contribution? Mm-hmm. And this is where getting down into details, getting into the nitty gritty, into the granularity is better.
So here's an example. If we're talking about setting up the quarterly meeting, and if one person was in part of it, they might be tempted to write contributed to the organization of the quarterly meeting. But what that person actually did was find a date and a location to recommend to her boss, find caterers and make a recommendation to her boss, work with a colleague to come up with a list of attendees, send the invitation and the reminders, got suggestions on the agenda and reviewed those with her boss, sent out the agenda, set up the room on the day with a colleague, made extra copies of documentation in case anyone didn't have them, stayed on hand with another colleague to cover the problems on the day, and reviewed the bills before giving them to her boss to review for finance to pay. And when you think about it like that, you don't have any doubt that it was that yep. person's project. She just brought in other people when she needed them. And you could say, we did it. I needed other people's help. Yes, you did. But that project was all yours because you were the one who was driving everything to be done on time and on budget and so on.
Yep. And this is a case, again, folks, where many of you recoil a little bit at the level of detail there. But again, without the level of detail, again, a great place to find some of that detail is in your emails and hopefully in your task tracking software or hardware, pen and paper, whatever it is you use. Keep it over the course of a year so you can refer to it on a regular basis. The more granularity you have day to day, week to week, month to month, the easier it is to describe what you've done year to year or in those career transitions when things really matter.
If she'd have only had kind of four things on there, she might have had the four things that needed someone else, and it wouldn't have been as clear that it was her project. And yeah, having 10 or however many there are makes a difference.
And I think something that's missed, I think for a lot of people, managers don't understand that if you were that person's boss, you get to claim the meeting too.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's not to say that you would claim doing all the things she did or he did. But anything you direct your staff to do, you're ultimately responsible for the outcome, good or bad. So you could aggregate and what's the word I'm looking for in terms of describing something?
Abstract.
Abstract out a little bit what this person did. And it's not that you're taking credit for her work or his work. You're not. You're describing your successful accomplishment of a responsibility that was yours. Because if it's one of your people's, it's one of yours. And too many managers miss this and describe their end of year or describe on their resume their accomplishments as things they did individually rather than as results their team achieved. And this is important because you're never going to be made a director because you did things well. I take that back. I shouldn't say never. It's unlikely that through the course of your career, your individual accomplishments are going to be what gets you to the next level. Over time, your value to the organization is the leverage you provide the organization to all the people within your organization, your managers who report to you and their directs and so on down the line. So you've got to be willing to know what it is your people do and abstract that up a level so you can describe that as an accomplishment for the organization.
And that's the definition of managing, right? It's not you doing things, it's other people doing things, and right. You are coordinating it and making sure it's important and making sure it's done if it needs to be done.
Well, within the context of when you say that, that's right. You're absolutely right, Wendy. The problem is many of our listeners think of management. I say, well, Mark, I can't do the things you want me to do. I can't do one-on-ones. I can't do feedback because I don't have any time because I'm a working manager. And we say, actually, that statement implies that suddenly you're this new person and everybody else only managers, but you actually have work to get done. That's ludicrous. Of course, you're a working manager. The problem is, every manager since the beginning of time has had their own work to do and has also had to manage people. That's the point. Okay. That said, the mistake is in the emphasis on working and not on managing. What we recommend you become is a working manager, as opposed to a working manager. And you've got to learn that your future calling card includes aggregating and abstracting the things your people did. And it's, again, you're not taking credit for them. You're not being selfish. You're being accurate within the construct of organizational life in the human condition in the 21st century. That's how it works. Good. I love casts like this. Great fun. Great fun. Okay, so can you summarize for us?
I can. So to remind you of the steps, you need to track your projects, track your outcomes, and track your team's results. And you want to track far more than you think you need to, like much more detailed than you think you need to, because it's far, far better to have too much information at the end of the year and think, oh, maybe I wasted 10 minutes, than to be looking at an annual review and have no idea what to put on it, or to have a dream job.
It's not fair to yourself to not do it day to day, week to week, month to month, and then have that hollow feeling at the end of the year saying, I know I had a good year. I contributed a lot to my boss doing what he needed to do to get his job done, but feeling like you can't characterize it and capture it as a way of saying, I did this. That's valuable. So, you know, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Good. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. In terms of your career and in terms of measuring your career, this may be one of our 10 or 15 most important pieces of guidance. See you next week.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.